in the last days, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. We are in the last days. We need the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that power, what the Bible tells us. Even Jesus, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry or wait in the city of Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. So even Jesus said, you're going to receive that power. But wait a minute, didn't he breathe in them and said, receive you the Holy Spirit? Yeah, he did. But you see, it's another experience, the Holy Spirit being upon us.
As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kakou e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in Acts chapter 1 with a message titled Pentecost.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because.
Pentecost is always 50 days after Passover or Easter. And remember that Easter or Passover in Egypt, they had that Passover lamb that they slaughtered. They put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel. And then the angel of death passed over and God delivered them from that bondage of Egypt and Pharaoh. And the Bible says that Jesus is our Passover lamb. We're delivered from death and we have eternal life as we trust and believe in him. So he's our Passover lamb. One of the things that we look at in the scripture is the three different feasts. There are three primary feasts. There was the Passover feast, as I mentioned, Christ dying for the sins of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So the Passover, Jesus died for the sins of the world. Our Passover lamb. Then Pentecost. Pentecost was a special time where the church began, the Holy Spirit being poured out upon the believers in the upper room. And that's what we'll look at this morning, being poured out. Holy Spirit came upon them. And then the church from that point on spread to the entire world. We've seen that for the last 2,000 years. One last feast that they celebrate. Now, the two feasts, they've been fulfilled already. Christ coming, dying for our sins. Holy Spirit coming and filling the disciples with the Holy Spirit in the church beginning. The last one is the Feast of Tabernacles. Feast of Tabernacles. Remember when Jesus in John chapter 7, he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me, and out of his innermost being shall gush forth torrents of living water. He said that on the last day of that feast, because the first days of that feast, the first 6 days, they would fill those water pots from the pool of Siloam, and they would come and they would pour them out on the ground. And it was simply an acknowledgement of God providing for the children of Israel in the wilderness. And then they would have these tabernacles or these lean-tos, these tents that they would set up, and they would look under the stars for those 7 days. But then the last day of that feast, there wouldn't be any pouring out, because that would be a time when God was fulfilling his prophecy to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that there would be a reign of Christ over Israel. We see it as the millennial reign. And so that hasn't been fulfilled yet. But just before that, there were the Feast of Trumpets, just before that. And many Bible prophets and prophecy believe that that is the rapture of the church. Because just prior to that, there were the blowing of the trumpets, and it was the ingathering, not just the ingathering of the crops, but the ingathering of the souls. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with a trump of God. the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so we know at that, if that in fact will be the fulfillment, the rapture of the church, the Feast of Trumpets, then we know there will be at least a 7-year period of tribulation. And then ultimately and finally, there will be that setting up of the kingdom of God when Christ comes back and fulfills that covenant to Israel. Now, it's interesting the dates that they have for these. Now, I'm not going to set dates, but Feast of Trumpets would usually take place because it's a lunar calendar. Sometimes at the end of September, first part of October, and the Feast of Tabernacles would be October, November, right around there. So many believe that the rapture of the church, and again, it's speculation, and I would never set dates, but I just think it's always interesting. You want to make sure you're pretty prepared, you know, around September, October, November. Yeah, just think about that. If you're backslidden, just remember that's not a good time to be backslidden, just in case. But what we find here, I think it was interesting. One of the fellows that had just been married, and he gave an illustration of him and his wife. There was a bizarre, a severe blizzard when they were first married. And Sunday they were looking to go to church, but it was so bad that all the electricity was out, and they'd huddled by this battery-operated radio to listen to the news. And the announcer said, before giving the list of church services canceled due to the ice storm, they said the following churches will be closed due to lack of power. And this fella, and again, you might pick it up right now, the church closed for lack of power. Very interesting, because that's how the church started. When the power of the Holy Spirit would come upon the church, then it started. What an interesting, you know, analogy or symbolism, and that couple knew exactly what it meant. There wasn't any electricity, but boy, maybe that's true of some churches. Some churches, Ichabod, the presence of the Lord has departed. And remember, Jesus said, if you do not repent, in some of the churches, the 7 churches of the book of Revelation, there were those that were doing good and those not so good. Jesus said, unless you repent, I will depart from you. And so one of the things that we know here when we look at Pentecost and we look at the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit coming upon the church, there are various terms here when we look at the beginning of the church and the day of Pentecost, of this experience taking place, the day of Pentecost, and the coming of the beginning of the church starting. Really incredible phenomenon. Not just do we see the baptism of the Holy Spirit there in Acts chapter 1, verse 5. We'll read it in a moment, but there are other scriptures that speak of the same thing, the filling of the Holy Spirit, or the filling of the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Or the promise of the Father in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, or endued with power from on high, Acts 10, 47, or the Holy Spirit fell upon the church. So you have all those for the initial Pentecost, the church starting, the Pentecost and the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon the church. You can't separate those. And that's why it's such an oxymoron, church closed due to lack of power. You know, it really interesting. But it's really a definite experience when we think of the day of Pentecost and we look at the Holy Spirit coming upon those believers. A definite experience, part of salvation, part of our salvation. Martin Lloyd-Jones in Joy Unspeakable, he writes, what is established beyond any doubt is that one can be a believer without being baptized by the Holy Spirit. I think we have those in the church today. They're believers. They're going to heaven. But they've never experienced that baptism of the Holy Spirit. Maybe this morning, God will change all that, and there will be a new work of the Spirit in your life. You see, the purpose is to empower for service and testimony. I don't think there's any joy in the Christian life if we don't have the power to live out what we're supposed to be as a Christian. How frustrating is that? We know what to do, but we don't have the power to do it. I am working on my house. There's certain electrical situations there, and Van, who's, you know, his company put the solar panels on the roof. I keep going to him and asking him because I can't get two of these lights to work. And I took them all apart, and actually I kind of mutilated one because I wanted to get into the nitty-gritty of it. And he finally said, well, look for another switch. Sounds like there's another switch. So sure enough, yesterday I looked behind our easy chair. Here's another switch. I turned it on. And the one light that I didn't mutilate, it went on fine. The other light... Van, if you're here, I want to see you right after the service. Anyway, but you see, it's like it's turning on that power, that power of the Holy Spirit that would really be a work of God in our life and be able to live out this Christian experience. You see, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it gives us that power. And when you say clothes due to power, that is something else. There should be no church that's ever closed due to no power. R.A. Torrey, in his book, Baptism with the Holy Spirit, great book, keep it in your library, important book, read it, and I would say read it often. He says, it is quite possible to have something, yes, much, of the Spirit's presence and work in the heart and yet come short of that special fullness of work known in the Bible as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He goes on to say, I have recently met a very happy mother. A few months ago, she heard of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, sought it, and received it. Oh, she joyfully exclaimed as she told me the story. Since I received it, I have been able to get into the hearts of my children, which I was never able to do before. Seems so simple, but that's the reality of this power, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit coming upon us. There are three Greek prepositions that deal with the Holy Spirit's relationship with a person. The first one is the Holy Spirit is para, or with. Para is the Greek word, with is the English word. The second is en, or en, or in, the believer, and the third is the epi, or upon, the Holy Spirit being upon the believer. Jesus said in John chapter 14, 16 and 17, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, paraclete, which is the Spirit, Holy Spirit, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him, but you know him because he abides with, or para, with you, and will be in, or en, you. So he's there with them and he will be in them. That's going to be future for these disciples, and we'll see that come to pass. Now, after Jesus' resurrection, he appeared to the disciples on a Sunday in that upper room. The door was locked. The disciples were fearing because the body was gone and they didn't know what happened to the body. They were in fear. And so Jesus stood in their midst and he said to them, peace be with you. And he showed them his hands and his sides. And he says, as his hand and his side, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he said this, he breathed. The term there in my Bible is on, but in the literal Greek, it's en, in. Breathed in them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. John 20, verse 22. So Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is with you, para, and he will be in you, E-N. At this point, he's in them because Jesus breathed in them. The book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me." 1 Corinthians 3:16. "Know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Spirit," or the temple of God, "and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" 2 Timothy 1:14. "Guard the truth that has been entrusted to you by the Holy Spirit who lives in us." Notice, to you as a Christian, a born-again believer, we're always assured of the Holy Spirit being in us. We're never exhorted to get the Holy Spirit in us. You never find that. It's always the assurance of the Holy Spirit is in us. It's a mark of salvation. That's how you're saved. The Holy Spirit is in you. We're born again by the Holy Spirit. Now, without the Holy Spirit in us, when we invite Christ into our heart, the Holy Spirit comes in. But without the Holy Spirit in us, without inviting Christ in, then we're not a Christian. We're religious, but we're not saved. So you see, as many as confess Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead shall be saved. So it's really that confession and asking him to come in. But this other experience, this being upon, this epi, or the Holy Spirit coming upon, that third experience, it's a definite experience. And we're exhorted to have that. We're not exhorted to get the Holy Spirit in us. He just does that when we invite Christ into our hearts and we're saved. But we are exhorted in having the Holy Spirit to come upon us. There is that initial epi, or the Holy Spirit coming upon us, and then the subsequent fillings after that. In other words, it's not just a one-time event, but it's throughout the Christian life. I think of Peter, the Apostle Peter. He was filled at least a minimum of three times in the first four chapters of the book of Acts. And that's only what's recorded, probably a lot more than that. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, Acts chapter 4, verse 8, Acts chapter 4, verse 31. You can look it up on your own. Three different times he's baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit coming upon him that many times, and I'm sure more. Why? Well, because in Ephesians 5:18 it says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." The tense there is a continuous action, be ye being filled with the Holy Spirit over and over and over again. You know what it's like to have something, a vessel that needs to be filled over and over again? It's an exhortation to the Christians because some are not filled and some need to be refilled. And it's filling by a pouring upon that vessel or that person. Our pool was leaking when we first got the house. Water would go down, and it would go down. And I knew that the way that you check it is get a bucket of water and get the level exactly where the pool is, and then put it in the pool, right, even with a pool. And if the water level of the pool goes down and the bucket doesn't go down, then you know that you have a leak. But if they both go down together, you know it's just evaporation. But those that sold us the house, they didn't want to do anything about it. And so Zendo, the pool man, came over, said, "Bill, you've got a leak." I said, "Oh, really?" And so he's checking around and he's checking it out. And he says, "I think I know where it is." And so I got my iPhone out. And he had this syringe, and he's having this liquid. I don't know what it was, but it was some kind of red liquid. And he shot it into the pool, and you could see how it just went into this this fissure in the pool. It was just going in. And he said, "There's your leak." And I said, "I'm taking this to the guys we bought the house from." And I took it to them, and they didn't care anyway. So we had to keep filling the pool. And finally, Zendo, the pool man, pool guru, I call him, he fixed that. He epoxied it. made it, doesn't leak anymore. You see, we leak, and the only way that, you know, we fill us up is we need to constantly be filled up by the Holy Spirit. When you think about this whole experience of the filling of the Holy Spirit and that work that God does by the filling of the Holy Spirit, Joel talks about this being poured upon us, Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. In fact, Peter quotes Joel quite a bit there in Acts chapter 2. But he says, in the last days, I will pour my Spirit upon all flesh. We are in the last days. We need the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that api, that power. Even Jesus, he mentions in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry or wait in the city of Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. So even Jesus said, you're going to receive that power. But wait a minute, didn't he breathe in them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit? Yeah, he did. But you see, it's another experience, the Holy Spirit being upon us. So in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, and they gathered them together, and he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard of from me, for John baptized in water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now remember the scripture we read in John 20, 22, where the Holy Spirit was already with them, and in John 20, 22, the Holy Spirit in them already. But now Jesus' words are fulfilled that he mentioned in Luke 24, 49 that we read in Acts 2, verses 1 to 4. And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind and filled those who were there in the house. And there appeared to them tongues of fire distributing themselves. And they rested upon, notice upon, because Joel said he'll pour his Holy Spirit out upon each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit had given them utterance. There are other passages where you have Christians, where the Holy Spirit was with them, they received Christ, the Holy Spirit came in them, they were even baptized, and then later the Holy Spirit came upon them to be a witness and to have power to live out that Christian life.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of Acts, chapter 1, titled Pentecost. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our vast media archive. We really appreciate any support or feedback that we receive from our listeners. If you'd like to financially support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online through our website, CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with him today.
As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came, yeah. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in Acts chapter 1. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.